May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So we have come all the way around. Today is the last day of the church year. We begin the church year on Advent 1 as we prepare for the birth of Jesus. We celebrate Jesus' birth. We celebrate his ministry. We mark his crucifixion and his resurrection. And then the largest chunk of the year, ordinary time, we focus on his ministry and what his life was like. And when we come at last to the last Sunday of the church year, we celebrate Jesus as Lord, Jesus as Christ the King, Jesus the reign of Christ, the coming of the kingdom of God. We use images of Jesus ruling as Jesus in glory, finally gaining the power at the right hand of God. That kingship imagery comes deeply in the Bible. We heard it in our canticle today. We hear it in Colossians. The image of Jesus as Lord of the world, as power, as ruling over us, as setting everything to right. This feast is actually the newest one in the liturgical calendar. It was only introduced in 1925, and it was the idea of Pope Pius XI, who decided that the church needed to remember who they owed their ultimate allegiance to. 1925, that day may not resonate with you, but it comes very soon after the years of World War I. A terrible, terrible war generated mostly by the forces of nationalism, by a web of nationalist and ideological commitments that sent the whole world on a collision course to a war that got started over the assassination of a minor archduke in Yugoslavia, of all places, and ended up consuming the lives of millions. Pope Pius thought that 1925 was a good time to remind people, Christian nations in particular, that those in authority and those below them owed allegiance to a power greater than that of their presidents and their kings and whatever prime ministers they might have elected or chosen or live under. And thus the feast of Christ the King was born. And thus the imagery of sovereignty that comes with it. Because Christ who rules over us is the one that we are reminded that in the end our allegiance is to. And then today's gospel drops into that whole image like a lead weight, doesn't it? Here we have not Christ in ascendance on the throne, not the ascension, not being lifted up in glory to the wonder of the eyes of the ground, but Christ on the cross. Suffering, dying, mocked. Over and over again in this passage we hear, if you're the king of the Jews, do something. It's a little jarring, isn't it? This image of Christ dying, mocked, beaten, forgotten, next to our images of kingship. It doesn't look like it belongs in an episode of The Crown, does it? But I think that's why we get this story on this end of the cycle where we've been moving to the lectionary year ABC. This is the last story that we will tell in the cycle of the lectionary, and it comes on Christ the King Sunday, because we are supposed to remember that king to whom we owe allegiance is not like the kings of this world. That Jesus' power is not just a supercharged version of our regular worldly power. That God's kingdom is not just a different kind of king. This is a king who does not claim that glory and that power for his own benefit, but instead sacrifices himself and his very life for God's will for the world. To demonstrate power over even death, he chooses to die. To show us where we need to go, he walks all the way to the valley of suffering. This is not a king who lives separate from us in a palace somewhere, living a good life while we can only imagine one day. This is a king who is with us in the midst of it, who isn't afraid to give himself, who isn't afraid to serve others. Jesus is not the kind of king the folks on the ground that day expected. The folks surrounding the cross expected the kind of king we're all used to. The kind of king who raises up armies and marches on the enemy and overturns the current order in order to establish his own, putting the people who are down up on top and people who are up on top down below. Jesus is not that kind of a king. Jesus' invitation to the thief on the cross is to join him in that suffering because better things are coming. If we think that Christ the King Sunday means that the church is going to rule instead of our governments, that's probably a sign we may have been watching The Crown instead of reading the gospel. Because Jesus isn't that kind of a king. Jesus is the kind of king who comes all the way through human history and human suffering to offer us hope for something better, to offer us the promise that in the end God's power is greater than death, to offer us the assurance that all the empires of the world will not ultimately stand before God. In the messiness before the cross, it can be hard to find that as an exciting, thrilling word. But we celebrate this Sunday to remember that is the King that we owe our allegiance to. Not the powers of this world who assure us that if our enemies, our armies are strong enough, if our money is sufficiently grasped enough, if we have enough power in this world, that we are somehow okay. This is a king who reminds us that none of that lasts. And that all will be set right in God's time and not ours. Amen.